The Holy God speaks to us through His Holy Word. In Genesis 35, please turn to Genesis 35. We'll be reading verses 22 through 29. We'll be finishing the chapter. Now, I want to point out to you, we will begin with the last sentence of verse 22. Remember, last week I explained why we ended there and didn't read that last sentence. In the Hebrew, there is a marker called a patuach, and it's basically just recognizing there's almost like a paragraph marker. It is there in the verses we'll read today, although we'll consider all those verses as one subject. We're going to include them together. But it was significant enough to stop last week where it says, "And Israel heard it." And that patuach marks were kind of changing the subject matter, and enough of it that that's why we didn't read all of verse 22. It's not extremely significant, but I just want to explain again why we begin today with the last sentence of verse 22. Because we've begun a new subject, and enough of a shift that we want to consider it beginning there with our text. Now, the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan, and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Padan Aram. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. This is God's holy word. May the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts through the reading of it, and the preaching of it, and the hearing of it, and the doing of it. Art Linkletter wrote, "Posterity is the patriotic name for grandchildren." Posterity is the patriotic name for grandchildren. Or as someone else has said, grandchildren are our connection, our link to the future. Grandchildren are a blessing, and you don't have to wait long for grandparents to begin to glow when they talk about how much they love to spend time with their grandchildren. Psalm 127 celebrates having children. It says that children are a reward to the womb of the woman. And blessed is the man who has his quiver full of many arrows. Now, again, the size of our quivers may vary, but we're blessed to have our quivers full of children to shoot out and impact the world for Christ. And Psalm 128, which we sang leading into the sermon, celebrates having children again, but it goes further than that. It says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Thou shalt see thy children's children." Now, Psalm 128, again, it celebrates having children, and it's in the context of Israel. It's in the context of seeing Israel blessed and grow. It's the idea of covenant children, a covenant family, and a growing church that is populated by these children and children's children. And the one who fears Jesus and loves Christ and serves him in the church is blessed when he gets to see his grandchildren, and especially in the church, and growing the church into the next generations. And that's what we see here. Isaac is blessed today. Before Isaac dies, he gets to see the foundation of God's promised nation before his eyes. And he had waited a long time to see this. Jacob's been gone 20 years in Padan Aram. probably around 10 years, once he was back in the outskirts within the Promised Land. Likely had been back and forth to see Dad, but it would seem this is the first time that he brings the grandchildren. So Isaac, after a long time, gets to lay eyes on his grandsons. Now here's what's so significant. Consider Abraham. Only one son, the covenant son. Isaac, only one son, the covenant son. Here, now, Isaac sees Jacob with 12 covenant sons. He sees God's promise coming true in his grandsons, that there will be a great nation that comes out of them. He looks into the eyes of his grandchildren and he sees that he can trust God to keep his promise. Because that's mainly been what the promise, the Abrahamic promise, has been. Then reiterated to Isaac, then reiterated to Jacob. A large part of the promise has been, he will make a great and mighty nation through them. And now, seeing 12 grandsons, Isaac can get an extra picture of that. And you can get a picture of that looking at the text today. You can be encouraged to trust God to keep His promise. You and I are waiting for Christ to come back. And we are waiting to see the church advance through all the world. And we can trust Christ to keep His promise that He has all power and authority over heaven and earth. And He is taking over the world. And He will complete it. And He will come back. You, beloved, can trust God to keep His promise. For He is graciously faithful. And God's faithfulness began at the root. The 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Jacob in verses 22 through 26 are the branches that are now stemming out of the root of God's promise many years ago to Grandpa Abraham. And we will survey that a little bit today. Have your Bibles open. We'll be looking at a lot of scripture today. Turn with me back to where it all began with Father Abraham, Grandpa Abraham, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Notice how what you're seeing today, what Isaac is seeing, is the growth of that promise many years before. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now Abraham will need to have that promise reminded to him, because he's got to wait so long. And he, in fact, goes to his grave not really seeing a lot of it, although he sees the covenant in his son Isaac that he had to wait for so long. Genesis 15, you'll see that promise reiterated. But we turn ahead to Genesis 17, verses 1 through 8. Just before God is to give the first of the Old Testament sacraments, he reminds Abraham of the promise. And he's been waiting. And he'll have to wait some more. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, chapter 17, verse 1, and when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. What an incredible blessing. We're seeing that opening up with the 12 sons of Jacob now, which will be the tribes of Israel, which the whole Old Testament church into the New Testament church and unto the end will grow out of. But it comes back to this promise to Abraham. Notice his name there was changed to Abraham, which means father of many nations. You see, the Abrahamic covenant, ultimately with Christ in mind through all the Gentile lands, is to make a great and mighty nation, many nations all through the earth that will praise God, the true God, and live for Him and with Him for all eternity. So his very name is changed to reflect that. But so too Sarah's, verses 15 and 16. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now remember, this is an incredible promise because they've been waiting a long time. They have Ishmael now because they had a hard time believing Isaac would ever come. But he will come. And it'll be through him, through Sarah, not through Hagar, that many nations will come. It's an incredible promise. Look ahead to verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. With Isaac. And so the promise we see begins to transition into Isaac in terms of carrying it on. Turn to chapter 22, verses 15 through 18. Now here, very significant, God tells Abraham to offer up Isaac on the altar. What a test of faith. He's the only son. He's the son of the covenant he had waited so long for. Now you ask me to offer him up? We know from Hebrews 11, Abraham was acting in faith, trusting God must therefore going to be raising Isaac up from the dead, if that's going to be the case. And in fact, Isaac is a type of Christ and essentially was raised from the dead off of the altar, back up with a substitutionary animal sacrifice in his stead. And God commends him for that and reminds him it really will be through Isaac. And we get a picture of the Son, Jesus Christ, who truly will be offered up as our substitute. And so the promise continues to Abraham as we're seeing this transition through Isaac. It's an incredible type of Christ here. And so God promises, the angel of the Lord, verse 15, called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Well, now we see the promise come more directly to Isaac. Chapter 26, verses 1 through 5. Again, we're seeing the root of the promise that is leading to these sons stemming out of Jacob today that Isaac gets to see. Chapter 26, the promise to Isaac, verses 1 to 5. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In verse 5, it recognizes the obedience of Abraham again. In God's providence and his means, he makes his covenant people faithful and extends the promise through them because of his promise, but he extends it through their obedience. They do not earn it, but this is the way God works. The promise now to Isaac goes to Jacob. Jacob, who we're still reading about, chapter 27, verse 29. the blessing from Isaac to Jacob. Although it be within Jacob's trickery, nonetheless, the blessing applies. And it was going to be his anyways. Verse 29, let people serve thee, Isaac blesses Jacob. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And that grows as we go ahead. Chapter 28, God will bless him directly. And he really needs it. Chapter 28, verses 10 through 14. Jacob is afraid. He's being sent out on his own, very far away to try to find a wife. But he's really, it's a precarious situation. And he's concerned, will I ever come back? I know I'm supposed to be the covenant son, but how's this going to work out? And God reminds him of the root promise that he will come back with children. And so we see chapter 28, verses 10 through 14. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now notice the connection to the root, but think about that north, east, west, and south as we are thinking about the tribes of Israel today with what we will see toward the end. Now he gives that promise to Jacob as he's about to leave, and when he comes back and he gets right with God in Bethel, God reminds him he's faithful to the same promise. Chapter 35, verses 9 to 12. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be out of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. Wow, that's what we're seeing happening today more directly. Jacob gets to actually see this happen more in his sons. And we'll see he gets the promise once again when he needs it. Chapter 46 that we'll get to later on in the series in Genesis. But turn with me there. Chapter 46, verses 1 to 3. Jacob's now going to have to go into Egypt. And he's afraid. He's not sure about this. His sons have gone down. And is the promise therefore not going to happen anymore? What of this nation we're supposed to have in this land? And so God reminds him of the root promise that will bear fruit. Verses 1 through 3 of 46. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. You see, the seed of what we're reading today was planted all the way back in Genesis 3:15. As soon as the fall, even before he curses Adam and Eve, he first gives the glorious promise. The seed of the woman, Jesus, will crush the head of the serpent, Satan. But that promise becomes more rooted and anchored, and it begins to spread beneath the surface in Abraham and Isaac. And we see it shooting forth now, springing up out of the ground in the loins of Jacob with the 12 sons. And Isaac gets to see it. Verse 27. Abraham did not get to see Jacob. He had to go to his grave trusting there would be a grandson of the covenant. Isaac gets to see 12 grandsons before he dies. And it's not just before he dies. The commentators help us see that when you do the math, Joseph doesn't isn't sent down into Egypt until about 17 years. Or rather, Isaac lives about 17 years before Joseph is sent away, before Isaac dies. So he gets time. The point is, he gets time with his grandsons. And the text kind of ends here today so we can focus next week, go back a little bit and focus more narrowly. But the point is, Isaac even gets to be with his grandsons for a while. And he gets to experience this promise before his eyes, and you get to read about it. You get to see that God keeps his promise to his family. It takes a long time. That's the way he works, to build faith in us. But he keeps his promise. You must believe this. You must look ahead. And you must keep watering. Walk with God. Live within God's promises. For God's faithfulness kept growing. Isaac dies in verse 29, but his grandsons still are the reference point for the budding of the church in the Old Testament. Look ahead to Genesis 49, verse 28. Jacob now is going to give a blessing to all his sons, and it's referred to here in verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. He's blessing them at the end of their life, and it'll be their seed by their names and tribes that will eventually go into the promised land. And so that's where Moses picks up. Exodus chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Notice the beginning of the whole book is based on the 12 sons you see here springing out of the promise today. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. So they're going to eventually, in a little while with Moses, they're going to get to go out by those tribes. But already we see the tribes had gone down into Egypt. It's reiterated here. And the tribes are growing and mightily exceeding. We look ahead to chapter 28, verses 4 through 12. If you turn there, or you can look, we'll move past it quickly, but 4 through 12 and then chapter 39, verse 14, we see that the Aaronic priesthood, the high priest, wears an ephod with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel on it. And he goes into the Holy of Holies to represent the people of God, represented by those 12 tribes of Israel in God's holy presence. That's what Christ does for us now in the New Testament. And you'll see those tribes are still the reference point representing the whole. But the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons, continue to be basically the way of speaking of the church. In Numbers chapter 34, Moses divides the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Deuteronomy 33, Moses blesses them all according to the 12 tribes, the 12 names of the sons of Israel. We look ahead to Joshua chapter 4. We'll just see this continue to be the reference point for the Old Testament church. Chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spoke unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. They were there unto that day, giving a witness to the promise. And notice again, the Israelites are told by God, they're going through the river, I want you to pick up stones along the way. 12 stones to represent the 12 stones, the 12 tribes, that is, of Israel. The 12 sons. This is how we talk about the church. You can see it similarly in chapter 11 of Joshua, verse 23. In 1 Kings 18, verses 30 to 32... Elijah is going to do that glorious miracle of calling down God's fire from heaven to burn up the sacrifice that had water all over it, drenched it, shouldn't have burned, so that the Israelites would say, God is the true God, God is the true God, He is our God, and they would not go the way of the prophets of Baal. But part of that reference is, he says, get 12 stones for the altar to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. They continue to be the reference of who the people are as God's people according to God's promise, which He is faithful to keep. 1 Chronicles chapters 2 through 8, the longest genealogy, 1 through 8. The chapters 2 through 8 are all according to the 12 tribes of Israel. He goes one son's name at a time. And then he breaks down all of their heritage and lineage. Ezekiel 48, even in the prophets, God will divide the land by the 12 tribes of Israel. You see, a foundation is laid to build a house upon, and God is building His house, the temple, the church of God, old and new. God cements Israel with the 12 tribes, and He begins to build His church upon it, a mighty nation, and then great many nations through Jesus Christ. You see, Christian, you have a grand history. You are the sons of Abraham, and you are standing upon the tribes of Israel. May you eagerly continue to build on what has been laid before you. You see, the New Testament church is connected to the Old Testament church, for God's faithfulness continues spreading outward and upward into forever, praise His name. And the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons we read of here today that Isaac gets to lay his eyes upon, they are still the branches of Christ's church on which they hang. You might be surprised how often the 12 tribes of Israel are referenced in the New Testament. Turn with me to Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You see, this is a very important reference for Jesus Christ and the building and founding of His church and the coming back for the consummation of His church in the kingdom of heaven. So we see Him refer to it again in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 28 through 30. And so we see it become a reference point still in the book of Acts, as the church now, the 12 tribes of Israel, is going to begin to go out not only in Jerusalem, but to Judea, and to the othermost parts of the earth. the fulfilling of the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, beginning to spread forth in the sons of Jacob, now beginning to spread forth in Christ, the fulfillment of the prophecy and the promise. God is faithful to keep His word, to keep His promise. And so we look at Acts chapter 3, verses 25 through 26. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant, which God made with your father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus Christ, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. He's saying the fulfillment of the promise we see in the 12 tribes of Israel is coming true today. He's brought you, Jesus Christ. You, the seed of Abraham, but it's going to extend further than that, but it comes to the Jews first. And every true Jew will believe on him. Look ahead to chapter 26 of Acts. Paul now speaking. Acts 26, verses 6 through 8. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? He's standing for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he's connecting it to the promise God made to their fathers, the Jews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, coming, the promise of the 12 tribes, beginning to flourish here today in our text. It goes further. Look at James. James chapter 1. This is just the 12 tribes of Israel. Always before us, all through the scriptures. You see, there's one church, Old and New Testament. And we are just the extension of the 12 tribes of Israel. We are built upon them. But it's still the reference point. They represent the part for the whole. Just after Hebrews, turn to the book of James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He still sees the church as the 12 tribes, but the 12 tribes are obviously bigger than that. And in fact, they're dispersed around the known world because God is now expanding the church, referred to as the 12 tribes of Israel, throughout all nations now, including the Gentiles, which was the promise in Isaiah. It's too little a thing, it says to the suffering servant, that I will just give you the Jews as your reward. I will also give you the Gentiles, all nations. Psalm 117 is that promise we sing at the end of our morning worship always. Give ye praise, all nations of the earth. That's always in view from Abraham onward, from Genesis 3:15 onward. And now the 12 tribes of Israel, into the time of the New Testament church and so on. You see, the acorn of the Old Testament has become a mighty oak, beloved. It has deep, deep roots. And so the branches are spreading very far across the entire world, bringing the shade of Jesus Christ over all and every nation who would trust in Him to be saved from hell. God keeps His promise. So Luke chapter 2, the Holy Spirit told Simeon that he would get to see the Lord's Christ, the salvation of Israel, before he died. And so Simeon did lay his eyes on Jesus Christ and held him in his arms. And through God's word, you have gotten to see Jesus before you died, an eternal death, so that you have been grafted in into the 12 tribes of Israel and spread it forth throughout the world. You see, it's still happening today, and Jesus reveals this mystery before your eyes while you wait to give you that glimmer of hope that Isaac got to see with his 12 grandsons. It goes all the way to the end, all the way to his return. Turn to Revelation chapter 7. You see the continuity of the church and the continuity of the scriptures and the ever-expanding promise until we get here. Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 through 10. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Aser were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Do you see how is the whole referenced of the true church of God that buds from Abraham and grows throughout the world and comes back as the many nations who will serve and praise God forever? They are accounted for still by the 12 sons you see today that Isaac got to see and you get to see. And in the very end, they will still be the reference point. But turn to the end of Revelation chapter 21 and see it again. Chapter 21, verses 9 through 14, and these are glorious verses. If you can't get excited about these verses, let me pray for you. Revelation 21, verses 9 through 14. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now remember the north, south, east, west that was promised to Jacob earlier on. On the east, 3 gates, and on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And you see the continuity there, the 12 tribes, and then the 12 apostles that bring those 12 tribes throughout the rest of the world, and in the consummation of the kingdom of Christ. The 12 tribes of Israel continue to populate the world until the meek fully inherit it. And you get to see it spreading like wildfire until the world is consumed in Christ's glory. So it is happening, and so it shall be, for so He promised. Trust God to keep His promise. Christ says He has been given all power and authority on heaven and earth, and He will be with you until the very end of the age and to all ends of the world as He brings the 12 tribes of Israel to bless many nations, one nation under God forever and ever. You can bank on that promise. Oh, beloved, trust God to keep His promise. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, thank You for this glorious, glorious vision and revelation that goes all the way back to our text today, rooted in the promise to the patriarchs, expanding now in the grandsons of Isaac to build Your church as You promise, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But Abraham's seed and their seed's seed will go out as it is going out through all the world to bless all nations. So give ye praise, all nations of the earth, to the Lord God. Thank You for engrafting us in as the Gentiles and making us part of this glorious, glorious heritage. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.